Acts, it's chapter 10 and verse 23 to the end of the chapter. Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived at Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "3 days ago I was in my house praying at this very hour in the 3 p.m. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest at the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now, we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.' Then Peter began to speak. 'I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what had happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Brilliant story. Great encounter. I wonder what the memorable moments are in your life. Sometimes they're planned and sometimes they happen kind of out of the blue, so to speak. Caleb, where are you, Caleb? There you are. Caleb yesterday had a memorable moment, I think. Is that true? He posted it on WhatsApp, that's how I know. And he was waiting for his friends in Broadway, you know, little sleepy village, nice houses and tea shops and all that, just down the hill. And he was waiting for his friends, and he kind of saw someone walking a dog and thought, "I recognize that person." And Caleb, being Caleb, went and said, "Can I have a selfie?" And he did. None other than Mr. Simon Cowell. You know, well, that's a memorable moment in life. I said to Caleb, "Did you show me your talent?" He went, "No, I didn't." So, next time. Memorable moments. In your life so far, whether you're younger or older, what they might have been. I know for a lot of you 16-year-olds, a memorable moment will come when those GCSE results arrive. That email goes ping in your inbox. Hooray! Heart beating. Maybe it's the A-levels. memorable moment of passing the driving test, of suddenly being given freedom. I can go out if you can afford a car and the insurance and all the fuel, at least. The leavers' prom. What a memorable moment. Getting dressed up and celebrating that moment of a rite of passage. Graduating uni. Who remembers their wedding day? I won't ask those who don't and like let it fall away. But what about the birth of your children, if you have them? Yeah, I'm glad you still remember that. What might it be for you, those memorable, amazing moments? I'm sure there's some. For some friends of mine, the most memorable moment, the thing they go on about all the time right now, is the fact that their dad managed to get, at quite a lot of expense, he told me secretly, 4 tickets to Taylor Swift's concert in Edinburgh. You're not very impressed. You're impressed, aren't you? Yeah. Anyone under something will be impressed. And I have to say, it's very memorable, because whenever they talk about it, there's a lot of screaming and squealing and squeaking, and a lot of jealousy from their friends to say why. I did a little bit of research on the great encyclopedia of Google and found a news feature from a newspaper that said, what are the top 50 historic moments that British people wish they had witnessed? I thought I might do a little episode of Pointless here, but I don't really understand the rules, and there's 50 and I didn't know how to coordinate it. But what do you think was the most memorable moment that people would have loved to have witnessed? What do you think was number one? The World Cup win in 1966. Thank you. Is that one of you all going to hope for? It's up there. This is what was number one of, like, the only time it happens. The Britain won a World Cup. And every time the World Cup comes around, we're like, is it coming home? Probably not. Anyway, the second on the list was Live Aid in 1985, the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989, the launch of Apollo 11 in 69, Queen Elizabeth's coronation coming in at 5 in the 5th place, the London Olympics, many of us remember that, in 2012, the Beatles playing on top of the Apple offices, 1916, there's some nodding going on, shows us a multi-generational congregation. Hussein Bolt winning the 100 metres in 2012. I don't think any one of us are around for this next one. The construction of Stonehenge was one of the ones that... Tim was around. There you go. Thank you, Tim. Add a few. And Andy Murray winning Wimbledon in 2013. Those are the top 10 of the 50 that were listed. Interestingly, as I read down, the birth of Jesus came in at 14. Interesting. And I did read all the way through, and there wasn't one reference in the top 50 of actually being a witness to the empty tomb on the first Easter. I thought that was quite interesting. Memorable life-changing moments. That one in Jerusalem on the first Easter is the most remarkable, the most astonishing memorable moment. Life-changing moments. The story in Acts that we've read is Peter meeting some people who were kind of finding, they were thinking, we know that there's more to life, that we know that there's something about spiritual stuff. We know that it's not just flesh and blood and eat, drink, and be merry. That this man, Cornelius, a wealthy man, a powerful man, a man in the army of the Romans, no doubt used to seeing life and death and knowing about taking orders and seeing corruption and seeing how society is structured and kind of thinking there must be more than this. Heard about a simple man staying in someone who makes leather, a guy called Peter. And under the inspiration of the Spirit, who's at work with all of us, said, can you come to my house? And God had been at work in Peter's life because he was a friend of Jesus. And God had said to him, when someone comes, you're to go with them. And so these amazing things happen, just as Ollie was saying on the video, that God is at work. And so Peter goes to Joppa and meets with Cornelius and his household, and it becomes a huge memorable moment. He's asked to tell them the good news, and he speaks about Jesus, about how God promised and prophesied and fulfilled it, of how Jesus burst out into life in Palestine and astonished everyone with the wonders and the wisdom of his teaching, and of how his life impacted for good again and again the women and the men and the children and the religious and the rich and the down and outs and the poor and the desperate and the foreigners, that Jesus has a heart for everyone. And then he burst out from the tomb. And that's a memorable theme, because what happened in that little place in Jerusalem such a long time ago burst out of that nation and burst forth from the Middle East and is resonating and impacting all over the world. Even now, today, we'll hear it in Bell's story. For Cornelius, it was a memorable moment because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, filled them up and they were transformed from within. That's what it means to have a memorable moment and to meet Jesus. We're never the same again. I can remember my Christian day that I became a Christian. It was the 10th of November, 1991. I know for some people here, they couldn't put a particular date and time on it. And that's okay. It happens in all sorts of ways, the way God comes close to us. But there's another memorable moment in this passage, and it's the Holy Spirit filled them, and they said nothing can keep them from being baptized. I remember my baptism. And that's one of the things that's so important about baptism, because however we've come to faith and the work of God in our life, and that's precious and unique and significant, but also he says to every believer, like Cornelius and Lydia and so many others, Silas and the jailer in Philippi, and gosh, there's so many to count and to testify, they were baptized. Because it's a statement about our recognition of all God has done in and through Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. Baptism reminds us of what Jesus did himself, and he asks us to do it as well. I haven't twisted Belle's arm. She came to me and said, "Can I be baptized?" Because God has been at work in her life, and she knows that Jesus asks every believer to be baptized because they are new creations. They've met Jesus and they are following him through baptism. Jesus himself got baptized. Baptism, in one sense, doesn't do anything. It doesn't make your salvation better. It doesn't kind of like, if you've believed in Jesus and not been baptized, it doesn't diminish anything about God's work in your life. Baptism doesn't save us from our sins. It doesn't wash us clean. It's water. It's nice and warm. There aren't bugs in it, but it's from the tap, from the school. In and of itself, it's not holy or special. But what this signifies is the reality of Belle's faith in the risen living Lord. What this signifies is that his death on the cross frees her and rescues her and forgives her and cleanses her, and the Holy Spirit has come amongst her, and that she is now adopted into the family of God and has peace with God, and so many other things, so many memorable things. Baptism is hugely significant. It's a huge moment. Because it says, "I'm trusting and living," just as Tim was saying, for Jesus. Baptism is also a way of sharing our faith and saying, "I believe in my heart and I'm happy to tell about it. I'm happy to stand in front of all of us and say, I've met him, I'm following him. He's the key central part of my life." Baptism is this stake in the ground, this moment where in front of everybody else, affirming that Jesus is her and our rescuer and leader. And as Tim was saying, it's a huge encouragement to others of your story. It's a memorable moment for you. And it's a memorable moment for us because it's a testimony of what God is doing. For Cornelius, and for the story of God at work, a hugely significant moment, and being replicated as Belle is baptized, as each one of us take this step of faith, of being fully submerged, fully immersed as a believer. May God bless you. So we're going to stand and sing. Someone could go and let Verity know, because some of the young people are coming to hear your story. We're going to sing a song, Henry and Band, Living Hope. Just whilst they're coming, I'm going to explain what's going to happen after this song. We're going to have a seat, and Belle is going to come up and tell her story, which is brilliant. We're going to smile and kind of encourage her, because if you've ever done this, it's always a little bit like, oh, gosh, a little bit nerve-wracking. What will people think? And will I open my mouth and nothing comes out? You'll be fine. And even if that happens, we'll be supporting you and cheering on, no embarrassment at all in that. After Belle.